Good morning. I'm Charles Burt, member of Rivermount Church of Christ, which meets at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. Thank you for listening to Seeds of Truth today. Our regular speaker, Robert Swain, the full-time preacher at Rivermount Church of Christ, will be back again next week. But now, please grab your Bible and join in as we study from God's Word. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 reads, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Here we see the Apostle Paul expressing amazement or surprise that the Galatians were so soon to begin slipping into apostasy. And apostasy is an act of rebelling against, forsaking, or abandoning, or falling away from God's truths. These Galatians were corrupting the inspired teaching they had already received upon their conversion and were being influenced by Judaizing false teachers. In so doing, they were not just rejecting God's word, they were in essence rejecting God. You see, the one who actually called the Galatians was God himself. Those who are Christians are called of God, as we learn in Ephesians 1:18 or Philippians 3:14. Also in 2 Timothy 1:9 and 2 Thessalonians 2:14. So this apostasy is an apostasy away from God. But what does this apostasy involve? The Galatians did not deny the death, burial, resurrection, or ascension of Christ. However, they were departing from the one who called them into the grace of Christ. There are many in the religious world today who say that we only have to unite in the gospel, and by this they mean the facts pertaining to Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And that diversity, according to these folks, within the realm of doctrine, is okay. But that attitude is simply not correct, as we learn here in Galatians chapter 1, as well as many other places in the scripture. My friends out there in the radio audience, I want you to know that doctrine is important. And the apostasy that Paul was refuting was doctrinal apostasy. Paul is saying that when doctrine is perverted, either by adding or taking away, it is no longer acceptable. It is something altogether different. Now, what is the origin of doctrine? You know, there are also some in the religious world today who are only concerned with those words in the Bible that are red-lettered. You know, those words that are actually from Christ. And I certainly agree with placing importance on every word that proceeds from Jesus' mouth. And let's just look at a few. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me now to John chapter 16. And I just want to read a few verses, verses 7 through 15. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples, the apostles. In verse 7, it begins, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Jesus certainly taught his disciples many things as he walked on this earth. We read about these things in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what's commonly referred to as the Gospels. And there was much more the apostles had to learn, as Jesus said in John 16, verse 12. But they couldn't handle it all at that time. However, Jesus promised them the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Note that the Holy Spirit would not speak from himself, but rather instructions and prophecy delivered directly from Christ, guiding them, these apostles, in all truth. In Acts chapter 1, we learn that after his resurrection, just prior to his ascension, Jesus commanded the apostles not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. They would receive power when they received that baptism of the Holy Spirit. But they would also be guided in all truth. They would receive the remainder of the doctrinal instructions and would carry out that great commission that Jesus gave them. Another main point I want to make, and I want you to take away from this lesson, my friends, is that doctrine, the doctrine taught by the apostles, came directly from Christ. Their teaching was just as significant and important as the red-lettered parts of the Bible, because it also came directly from the mouth of Christ as delivered by the Holy Spirit. To minimize the significance of any of the doctrine that the apostles teach, anything that we read in the New Testament is in essence turning away from God. This is one of the main points that Paul was making in Galatians chapter 1. Now in Acts chapter 2, after the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Peter preached a gospel sermon that cut the hearts of the Jews who were there, and they asked, what must they do? And Peter's response was in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We learn that in that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. We can also see that those early Christians were doing according to the apostles' doctrine. In verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it reads, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Among other things, these Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It was called the apostles' doctrine because it was delivered to them by the apostles. However, this doctrine was Christ's doctrine. Their teaching was not their own, not the apostles. It was the teaching of Christ, which was given to them through the Holy Spirit in fulfillment of promises Jesus made in John 14, 26, and also in John 16, 13. Guided by the Holy Spirit, the apostles taught these new converts the things they needed to know in order to worship and serve the Lord acceptably. Christians can't rely on their own opinions or on the opinions of others for guidance. We must abide in the teaching of Christ. 2 John 9 reads, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. This doctrine of Christ is given in the New Testament. And it's complete. It's all there. We're not authorized to add to it or take from it. For when we do, we pervert the gospel and make it something altogether different and unacceptable to God. This is the point that Paul was making in Galatians chapter 1. One final point, and that is a consequence of perverting the gospel. Paul said again in chapter 1, verse 8 of Galatians, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." He's saying that they had already received everything they needed to know, and there would be no additions here. And if it even appeared to be an angel from heaven, he or an angel from heaven that came and preached something different, added to or take away from, let him be accursed. And that Greek word for a curse is anathema. And it is used for something delivered up for divine wrath, dedicated to destruction and brought under a curse. Paul is saying here that they will be delivered up to the judicial wrath of God. We're talking eternal implications and not just church discipline. So my friends out there in the radio audience, I simply ask, are you abiding in the doctrine of Christ? Are you living and worshiping according to his instructions? We receive his doctrinal instructions from the New Testament. To add something to it or omit parts of it perverts it into something altogether different. We can find ourselves turning to God according to his will, or in essence, turning away from him. Where are you today? The Rivermont Church of Christ, bringing you this broadcast, meets Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for morning worship. And again, Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for worship. You have a cordial invitation to attend any or all of our services. We also meet at 7:30 Wednesday evenings for Bible study. Again, we are located at 2316 East 100 Road in Chester, Virginia. If you have a question or comment, or if you would like a copy of this message, or you are interested in a Bible correspondence course, please contact us at the meeting address or call us at 804-530-1764. Thank you for being in our listening audience. Again, Robert Swain will be with you next Saturday morning at 9:45 on Seeds of Truth. Have a pleasant morning.